New unemployment claims hit a 9-month high.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. This morning, we learn the number of people filing new jobless benefit claims rose by 12,000 last week, up to 500,000 new claims. Does that mean the economy is sliding, or is there another explanation? First, where's Wall Street? The Dow Industrials are down 47 points. That's almost 0.5%. The number is 10,368. The NASDAQ is down 0.4%, and the S&P 500 is off 0.5%. The big corporate news this morning, the chip-making Goliath Intel is buying the computer security software firm McAfee. The price tag is about $7.5 billion. Intel stock is down a couple of percent. McAfee stock is up 57%. Let's say good morning to economist Diane Swonk of Mesirow Financial. She joins us live every Thursday from Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
As I said, new unemployment claims jumped last week to 500,000. I thought they were supposed to fall.
Well, they are supposed to be falling, but we do have some distortions in there. The auto industry had later closings than usual, which is buoying claims, along with the end of census hires. But more importantly, veterans are beginning to return from Iraq, and that's starting to buoy the numbers because they're coming back to a more hostile labor market than when they left.
So returning veterans is, I'll grant you, an unusual factor. But, Diane, is that supposed to make us feel better?
Well, you know, we like the veterans to come home. The problem is we'd like to see an employment market that is strong enough to absorb them and give them jobs when they come home. And this is something that by this stage of the game should have been, you know, a blip on the radar screen, not such an extraordinary surge in unemployment claims.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I mentioned Intel buying McAfee. That's a huge transaction. Does that say good things about the economy?
Well, there's no question corporate profits have come back and mergers and acquisition activity is up quite dramatically. The large corporate sector, believe it or not, is actually hiring more than it's firing, not by much, but by a little bit. What's really been missing in this economy is the comeback for small businesses, which is the backbone of hiring. And small businesses just don't have access to the credit markets like large corporations do, and they're still waiting for a stronger recovery out there.
Well, we'll keep watching, hoping for improvement. Diane Swonk of Mesirow Financial, thanks.
Thank you.
One more piece of corporate news. The parent company of Sears and Kmart said it lost less than half of what it lost a year ago. Still, it did lose almost $40 million in the last 3 months, and Sears Holding Company stock is down about 4%. Today, the government will tell us which jobs had the highest fatality rates last year. And judging from past years, one of the most dangerous professions will again be commercial fishing. There may be ways to protect people in the fishing industry, but Marketplace's Janet Babin reports what's good for safety might be bad for business.
One thing that makes this line of work so dicey is the frenzy surrounding the catch. In many fisheries, the minute the season opens, boats race to reel in as many fish as they can. Photographer Karen Ducey crabbed under this system in Alaska's Bering Sea.
You would work around the clock, and you would work like 100 miles an hour. I think we would get about 4 hours of sleep at night. That's where the danger element would come in, because you're exhausted.
Alaska fisheries have since switched to what's called a catch-share quota system. Kate Bonson with the Environmental Defense Fund wants all U.S. fisheries to use this type of quota system.
Catch shares provide fishermen with a secure access to a certain amount of fish, and it allows them to be a lot more flexible about when they go fish.
Bonson says catch shares reduce fatalities and stabilize fish stocks. Some fishermen, though, complain the system nibbles away at their profits and curbs the adventure associated with the profession. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And you can see some of photographer Karen Ducey's astonishing crabbing photos at marketplace.org. Warning, though, they may make you swoon.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Oyster harvesting is still banned in most of the waters off Louisiana. Speaking of commercial fishing, that's, of course, thanks to the BP oil leak. That might not be a bad thing for Maryland. Here's reporter Kathy Ducham telling us about the rise of aquaculture in Chesapeake Bay.
Many wannabe oyster farmers already have a relationship with the mollusk. Take this guy, who calls himself Johnny Oyster Seed.
Yep, this is the oyster nursery. So this is one way that we get oysters started in an aquaculture sense.
Johnny Oysterseed, a.k.a. John Farrington, grows baby oysters in this supersized jacuzzi next to a creek that feeds Chesapeake Bay. His customers are conservation types who use the bivalves to filter pollution out of the water. Soon, Farrington hopes to grow oysters for food and sell them to restaurants and packing houses.
If we, develop an industry around aquaculture, we'd have millions of bushels of harvest. I think the potential is really that big.
The state of Maryland is getting ready to lease 600,000 acres of Chesapeake Bay bottom to people like Farrington. It's part of a plan to rebuild an oyster population that is 1% what it was 100 years ago. The strategy, encourage aquaculture and discourage the harvest of wild oysters. But oyster farming is not for the faint of heart.
It's hard work and the drudgery and the heat and the sun. And in the winter, it's the cold and the ice and the westerly winds.
Kevin McLaren runs the Chop Tank Oyster Company. He grows 8 million oysters in cages that float in the mild brine of the Chesapeake Bay. McLaren says selling oysters is the toughest part of the business.
We go up into Philadelphia, up into D.C. We do shucking events. You know, anything that's related to chefs and restaurants.
McLaren says he's not afraid of new competition. And Johnny Oysterseed is not afraid of hard work. He says he'll camp on the doorstep of state offices on September 7th to be the first in line to apply for an oyster lease. In St. Leonard, Maryland, I'm Kathy Duchamp from Marketplace.
And finally, you can call them men's shapewear, call them compression undershirts. They're basically man girdles, and the Washington Post says they're all the rage. These stretchy undershirts fit like a wetsuit, which helps with the love handles and beer bellies and other jiggly parts. The Post points out this trend isn't really new. Men have been buying garments to make them look tough since the days of armor. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.